I don't know if you've ever wanted to be a minister or a missionary. The Bible says that would be a noble calling. If you ever had that thought go through your mind, you could see yourself as someone sent, missionary, a servant, minister. Doug Ord, who serves in Colombia as an overseas missionary, I'll get to talk with him a little bit when he's home in the States, and sometimes communicate with him through mail or whatever, and he always says something like, "Boy, sure wish you would come down to Colombia and be here for a week or two and serve and see what it's like, and take that risk of faith." And they speak Spanish in Colombia, so I usually say, "No comprendo," and "No way, Jose," and so Doug, something I have to get to right here. I can't answer that call, that's for sure. But if you were to look in the Bible and think of what it means to be a missionary and a minister, you and I would be surprised by God's word to hear that anybody who has received Christ into their life and put their faith in him, God's word says, is a minister and a missionary. And to take on that identity as a gift from God, something that would be even beyond what you would seek or know. The Lord really does want us to see ourselves that way if we are a child of His, a minister and a missionary. And Jesus said this, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So He speaks that to every believer. Christ sends us with a message of the gospel. And He says, if you want to make a good impact for the kingdom of God, learn to be the servant of all, or learn to be the minister of all. Back in church history, there was a time, way back in the 15th century into the 16th century a little bit, when folks thought that only the clergy could do certain things in reference to the gospel. Only the clergy could read the Bible and tell you what it means. Only the clergy could celebrate the Lord's Supper in a certain manner so that the Lord would be honored. Only the clergy could say to you, you would go to heaven if you do this. You would not go to heaven if you do that. That was all in the hands of a very few people. And boy, what a amount of pressure they had on their shoulders. But in the 1500s, people began to read Scripture in their native language and discovered that the gospel, the good news of Christ, was for every believer. And every believer was to know Christ, pass him on, follow him with as much fervency as anybody who had the calling of a clergyman would. And it was a great breakthrough for the church. And nowadays, I think the goal for us is to be what the Bible says we are, not go back in church history and just look at ministers and just look at missionaries in a way that closes down the gospel for all of people who have turned to Christ and given their life for Him. So if you could see yourself from God's word in full-time Christian service, called as a missionary, called as a minister, wow, that gives a measure of purpose, humility, direction for your life. You know, God's calling our life. We seek Him if we want to be a butcher, baker, candlestick maker, something like that. Should I be a mechanic? Should I be a teacher? Those are important questions. And God will lead us serve Him in where He calls us. But a bigger calling underneath that calling that we have to answer to the Lord about is, when I did what I did in life, was I a minister? Was I a servant of Christ? When I did what I did in life, was I a missionary? Did I go with the gospel of Christ to pass that on to others? And that's the passion of the heart that plays itself out in the secondary callings that we all have. And so to see yourself minister and missionary. And if I would say, before you leave this morning, God would ordain you to that calling. You say, "Boy, I don't know if I should have came to church today." But He would ordain you to be a minister of the gospel and a missionary to pass on the news of Christ. And we do thank the Lord for those called to overseas missions, those called to church life work, pastors, and so on. But when we think of ourselves as a missionary or a minister, a frequently asked question that might hit your heart is this. You might hesitate to take on that calling because of this question. Can God use me? Can God use me? I know God can use him. I know God can use Billy Graham. I know God can use the gals who sang. But can God use me? That's a question that folks often have. And in the Bible, I think his followers have always struggled with that. Paul and Timothy, for example, wrote some things in the letters that Paul wrote and Timothy received that show that they asked that question a lot. Can God use me in life? And perhaps you're thinking of that in the midst of the question, can God help me in the troubles you have? Also, don't forget the question, can God use you to pass on Christ to others? Certainly has a plan for your life in that way. And it's amazing to me in the Bible that a lot of times those who were hesitant in accepting the calling of minister and missionary, God worked through in a great way. Moses said, I can't play the role of help and lead the people. Aaron's a much better speaker. Jeremiah said, I can't be a prophet. I'm too young. God pretty much told Isaiah, you go and be a prophet. But folks won't listen anyway. But you're still going to honor me. And they'll know the message was out. That could be a part of our calling to a hard soil in 21st century America. Go and tell the good news anyway. Regardless of what the results are. Be faithful. And so our reluctance doesn't cancel out God's calling. You as a minister, you as a missionary. And Paul raised that question in 2 Corinthians. He said, you know, we feel a competency, but it's not of ourselves. It's from God. And he went on to say, we have the treasure in clay vessels. Clay vessels or earthen vessels, some of you might have the phrase. And the treasure is Christ. And the earthen vessel is clay. You think about, what is clay made up of? It's made up of some forms of dirt. Okay, so God takes the dirt. When you're mistreated in life and things don't go well, you say, oh, they treated me like dirt, you know. I didn't feel like anything was going to get accomplished or whatever. But God says he takes the treasure, the wonderful, priceless treasure of Christ, puts it in the clay vessel, puts it in the dirt. What a gracious Lord that he should do that. And he shines forth in the commonness and perhaps even in the brokenness, the difficulty that you and I would have. You know, the scripture says that God formed Adam out of the clay of the ground. And whatever difficulty we have, we might think, well, I'm too soiled for God. God puts the treasure in the dirt. So don't sell yourself short in the calling God has for you as a minister and a missionary. Paul said God does that to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So that when good things happen, we know, hey, the Lord is working. It just wasn't from our own efforts or abilities or anything like that. And to use Timothy as a more clear example of somebody who thought maybe perhaps, I don't think I'm going to be a very good minister or missionary, but God sent him anyway. So to see you as being sent in spite of what disqualifications you might have for yourself. One of the things that Timothy struggled with, first disqualification, you might also get tripped up on, is that Timothy was timid, emotional, and perhaps had a hard time sticking with things. And if you have those qualities, God will work through you as you surrender to him and are available to him. Maybe Timothy had a problem with being worried or being anxious. In today's world, that's really a very prevalent way to look at life. I was talking to some of my family the other day. I said, boy, if we were all farmers, you know, and we were just concerned about working hard and seeing things grow and living in a subsistence kind of way, maybe we would have less worries. You know, but Timothy was timid. He had a heart that wasn't real confident or strong. And so Paul had to tell him, God didn't give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's something you and I would have with Christ. The power of God, the self-control of God, and the love of God in us. And when we have different timidness in our own life or worries, someone told me recently, when we have a worry or concern that might hold us back from seeing ourselves as a minister or missionary, you know what we're to do? We're to run towards that worry. Run towards the worry and see if God is there. See why we're anxious about a certain matter or if there's pain in our life. Pain when we think of certain things. Don't run away from that pain. Run towards the pain. And that's what Paul was encouraging Timothy to do. Timothy, you may be timid, but God will give you self-control and you'll still be a minister and a missionary for him. So be like a Timothy in overcoming your own timidness. I remember when I first started thinking about, well, maybe God wants me to be a pastor. I thought, I can listen a lot better than I can speak. So why, Lord, do you want to make me have an opportunity to give a sermon? God was like, you be quiet and follow me. That was pretty much the message in a loving way God told me. And so a minister and a missionary, in spite of your personality bent. Number two, Timothy was physically ill a lot. And a lot of times we use that as an excuse of not to follow Christ, not to serve, or not to be a missionary. I'm not healthy. So how could God use me? Paul told Timothy, don't forget to take a little wine, emphasis on little, for your stomach, because you are frequently ill. That's what he said to Timothy. You're frequently ill. But he was going to be a servant and a missionary anyway. And many times when you're hurting physically, you're going to be used by the Lord in an effective manner in spite of those limitations. If you go to a hospital, for example, going to get your tonsils out, and a nurse comes in and says, I had my tonsils out a couple years ago, and this is how I went through it. You'll be, I'm going to listen to that nurse real closely. I'll get a lot of help out of that. And so as you share things in your life, how God helped you through illnesses and difficulties, God will use you. And you'll be continue to be effective for him in spite of the physical disabilities you might have. Another disqualification Timothy may have had was this one. He was too young and too inexperienced. Now, some of us might say, well, that doesn't qualify for us. We're a little bit up there. But we might be young and inexperienced in following the Lord in certain ways. We're kind of real green in certain aspects of our discipleship. Will that hold us back? Did it hold Timothy back? Not at all. God called him. Paul had to say, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. But trust God and be an example. And so you and I are to do that too. Sometimes when we're young and inexperienced, we may trust God more because we're not resting on our laurels or what we learned, yesterday to follow God today. If you think of your own life, when you received Christ and you were young in the faith, chances are you served God pretty well, and maybe even you shared Christ with others in a pretty fervent manner. You were excited about the Lord. You told your family, maybe. A few friends found out. And so you were very, when you're young, you're zealous. Elie Strobel, who writes a lot about evangelism, and we're going to use some of his tapes on starting this Wednesday night, says, there's such a thing, the longer you walk with God, the less you actually share Christ with others. He calls that evangelistic entropy. You start to run out of life and zeal for God. And you just kind of, take care of yourself in a lot of ways. But he said God can break that and make you realize, well, you're inexperienced again in that. So God can bring concern for people outside the church to your heart again. The best days of sharing Christ doesn't have to be the first 5 years after you receive the Lord. Best years of sharing Christ could be today, when you turn to God and say, Lord, thank you. I have limitations of inexperience, but I am a minister and I am a missionary, and I can follow you in that way. Another characteristic that Timothy had that you and I may be tripped up on is that occasionally we might be ashamed of Christ or ashamed of God's people, or maybe even some shame in our own life, which Timothy may have struggled with, because Paul said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me or the gospel. Don't let that hold you back. And when we have shame in our life, it usually means we're withdrawing. We sense some lack in ourselves that we feel disqualifies us from being loved by God. And so we move back on that. Or perhaps when we're ashamed of our brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe they have done something in a manner that was embarrassing and we don't want to identify with them. If you hear a news broadcast today and say, and you hear the phrase, the evangelical Christians are, usually that's not done in a real positive, upbeat, thankful manner. Usually that's done with a lot of criticism and with a light on some alleged flaw in God's people. And so you and I might say, oh, I don't know if I want to be called a Christian nowadays. Paul said, don't be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. You know, the secular world's not setting the world on fire in terms of living a good lifestyle. One of the blessings of being in a pluralistic society, which you and I are, is that we get an equal hearing in whatever walk of life we're dealing with. We say, this is the way I think we should live because it says so in the Bible. And we do so without apology and with love and compassion toward the other people. So to not be ashamed of Christ, to not be ashamed of his word, is something God calls us to. That can't be an excuse. Often we put our shame inside and try to hide it up. When I go to the doctor and he asks me how I'm doing, first before I go, I brush my teeth and comb my hair and get dressed up real nice and give him a good pep talk when I come in the door about how great I feel. How you feel? I feel great. I'll be out of here in 5 minutes. And then he says, let me listen to your heart. Let me hear your lungs. Let me check out your digestive system. And none of those things are visible. They're all inward. So how we're really doing with God, he knows it's inward. Doesn't matter what my suit looks like or my earrings or whatever. It's inward is the spiritual health God would give me. The acceptance of Christ, the gospel of Christ, those things he would speak to. So we wouldn't be held back by anything on the inside, but we would learn to love and follow God as ministers and missionaries of his. And last disqualification I thought that you might find in Timothy is that he wanted to perhaps give up in following Christ. Sometimes when you're full of excitement, the excitement goes strong for about a week or so, and then or a year or so, and then you move back in more of a, boy, I don't know if I want to follow through on this. So he might have lacked perseverance. Paul had to tell him in his second letter that, you know, following the Lord sometimes is like being a farmer or an athlete or a soldier. It's a stick with the Lord attitude for the long run. That's what a minister and a missionary does. When our overseas missionaries are sent, for example, they're sent for 4 years. It's not just, you know, get excited for a couple months and we hope you enjoy the Lord. Four years. Have you ever served the Lord 4 years consistently in one direction, in one particular area? God would have you do that. That's calling in your life. to be tenacious that God would give you that heart after himself. That's, if I can give, in the Reformed theology, the word is perseverance, the perseverance of the saints. It means by the grace of God, I will stick with the grace of God. In the animal world, the picture of that is the polar bear and its habits of hunting food. If you were to go to Long John Silver's, I saw they had the new salmon grilled something or other. It's supposed to be healthy for you. Well, polar bears love salmon. So if you bought one of those salmon grilled sandwiches or whatever, you walked around with a little bag, and if a polar bear sniffed that, they would follow you with great ferocity and intensity. And if you got on a little bicycle and drove 50 miles, they'd follow you for 50 miles just for the bite of the food that they knew was life. They'd eat the sandwich, then they'd eat you. But that's a tenacious heart that God would want to give his people. Would it come from us? No, it would come from the faithfulness of God. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. So like a soldier, like an athlete, stick with Christ. That's what a minister and a missionary does. Stick with Christ. Stick with God's people. That's where the growth is and the safety is. If you have friends and family life that build you up in the Lord, and you've made commitments to your family, stick with your family. Perseverance and tenacity, too often given up. And the Lord says this, that as we say, how could he call us ministers and missionaries? What a calling. Might we not boast in anything except the cross of Christ as we do that? As you stand before God in the great judgment day, and all of life is measured before him. What we're probably not going to say is, Lord, ultimately, I was so glad that I was a mechanic. I was so glad that I was a teacher. God will use you in those things. But ultimately, you're going to say, I will only boast that I was a minister. I was a servant of God. And I was a missionary. I was glad to take the gospel of Christ wherever I went. And God will use you more than you think. That's a promise in God's word in Ephesians chapter 3. God will do more than you can and I can think or ask because of his power working within us. And it's a might be a quiet calling, faithful calling. You're not going to have a calling where you're in public ministry a lot. But as you go out in public, you're a witness for him as powerful as any other public minister is, to be surrendered to God, to be who God made you to be. That's God's will for you. And would you take the calling from the Bible, from his Holy Spirit, your ordination, to say, I'm a minister of God, and I'm a missionary sent by Christ. And as you do that, you'll be giving praise to God, and you'll be fulfilled in your soul. You'll be living out what God had called you to be. And might we consecrate ourselves to God in that wonderful calling. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for not only calling us to yourself and receiving us in Christ because of forgiveness and being born from above, but you give us a vocational task, and in the particular task, the greater task of being a servant, of being a missionary. And all of us, Father, would take on that with a measure of reluctance and perhaps a little bit of unbelief. And we don't want to idolize what we could accomplish, certainly without your grace and mercy. But we know, Lord, your word is true. And if you say we go to serve, then we go to serve. If you say we are sent with the message of Christ, then we are sent. And we are glad to boast in what you would do. I pray, Father, that as your word says, by the grace of God, we are what we are. Might we take that for ourselves. And Lord, as we go as Christians, might we see ourselves as ministers and missionaries, a fellowship of people that has our confidence in Christ, has that courage in our hearts and zeal in our step and in our purpose. Might that be for each one of us, Lord. Show us ways in which you can use us, and we trust you to accomplish your goodwill through each of our surrendered lives. Hear us as we just silently pray and take on what you tell us is true. Lord, give your blessing and correction and encouragement to each one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.